Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for today is the reading from St. Mark's Gospel, in particular this verse from the parable of the growing seed. He, the farmer, sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. This is our text. It seems to me that Jesus doesn't give farmers and gardeners enough credit in this parable, certainly far less than they deserve. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, then he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. But it's not as simple as that, is it? It's not as simple as just scattering seed and watching the garden grow, right? And there's a difference between what I can grow and what Marge Connell or Dee Walters can grow in their gardens. If it were that simple, my garden would be paradise. A dirt patch doesn't turn into Eden all by itself, does it? There's the hoeing and the fertilizing and the weeding and the watering and the epic battles of gardener versus rabbit or farmer versus deer, not to mention all of the knowledge that's needed about the various habitats that are right for the things that we want to grow. That's why farmers and gardeners will boast about their crops. It's why they take pride in the color and the size and the taste of the fruit. In Michigan, where I grew up, the county fair every year gave prizes to the people who grew the best fruits and vegetables because they assumed that the farmer had something to do with it. Each tomato, each bushel of corn represents so many hours of work and drops of sweat and knowledge and skill gained by the farmer. And yet Jesus reduces all of that to seed scattered that shoots sprouts while the one who plants it, the sower who sows the seed, sleeps. Doesn't seem like he has any place for dirt-caked fingernails and sunburned necks. No need of trowel or garden hoses or chicken wires in this parable. Once the seed is planted, it grows, and it grows, and it grows some more. It doesn't need the farmer or the gardener. The farmer can hang out at the breakfast table sipping his coffee if he wants to, reading the morning paper. He can lay back in the hammock or go for an errand to the store or take a Sunday drive, and still the seed will grow. Sounds to me like he's perhaps growing weeds, because weeds grow like that, but not other seeds. The garden is bare earth one night in this parable, and yet the next morning it's filled with new little plants. A miracle occurred while the farmer slept. The plants grow, they get tall, they bloom, and the fruit forms and ripens, and all this happens, it seems, automatically. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, then the harvest. And what can the farmer boast about? Because it all happened without him. Now, Jesus isn't making a statement about gardening, and he's not trying to market some sort of wonder seed to farmers. He's talking about the kingdom of God here. He's talking about the church. So don't be discouraged if your garden doesn't grow like this, but know that the church does. His parable makes it clear that the kingdom of God doesn't depend on us or on our efforts. It's not a kingdom that can be built by our sweat and our labor. The church doesn't stand or fall with you or me. And I say that intentionally. It doesn't stand or fall with any single one of us, and that includes your pastor as well, although God does graciously use us in this kingdom. But still, its fate doesn't rest on our shoulders. And the same holds true on an individual scale. Your faith doesn't rest on your own works or your own achievements, on how well you've cultivated that faith or lived it out, or perhaps how poorly. There's no room for any of us to boast about the fine faith that we have and what wonderful Christians we are because of what we've done, or about the fine church that we have because we've made something of it. We aren't so important. We aren't so indispensable. We aren't so necessary that God needs us for his work. We don't make his kingdom come. So all of our self-importance, all of our self-confidence here in this parable is stripped away. I suppose Jesus could have told the parable in such a way that the farmer does pull out his trowel and he does water the garden, and yet still the parable would stand. It grows because of the seed. Yet we should see this parable encouraging a couple of things. One thing that it encourages in us is patience. Notice that the seed is planted, but the harvest doesn't come the next day. It doesn't happen all at once. It takes place in stages. A little growth here, a little growth there. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. Sometimes you can't even see the growth and the changes from day to day, but this is how the kingdom of God comes. It is how God establishes his reign in our lives. It is how God works in us. He does it slowly. He does it patiently. He does it deliberately through the word. Even in our own lives, if we don't see the changes that we desire, if we don't see our faith growing as drastically as we would like, still God is at work slowly and carefully and patiently, day after day, by his word, bringing that growth. And that's one of the things we should hold on to, is the promise packed away in this parable. Jesus throws the promise out there like seed that he scatters on the ground. He throws it out there whenever he teaches, whenever he speaks, whenever he does a miracle. He is sowing seed. Through this parable, Jesus is telling us, for your own part, don't worry about it. For your own part, rely on me and on my word. I am the seed scattered on the ground, and I will bear fruit. I will bring growth. Don't despair or grow concerned about the church, because the church rests on my shoulders. It's my church created through my word, Jesus says. And don't despair. Don't grow desperate about your own faith or even your own failures to lead a holy life. But cling to my word and let my word be planted. Let it take root. Let it grow in you. You see, Jesus is encouraging us to hold fast to his word day after day after day and week after week after week, and to let that word do its work in our lives of bringing growth, no matter how slow, no matter how little it seems, until the harvest comes. Jesus says, be patient and trust me, and my word will do everything. The sweat and labor of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what builds his kingdom, and that's what brings us to faith. That's what produces fruit, a fruit that will last. It's not you or me, but it's him. You can see his sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane when it fell like drops of blood. And you can look upon the labor that your Lord went to in order to bring a harvest of righteousness when you look at his crucifixion. Jesus is the seed. He is the kernel of grain that falls into the ground and dies and is buried. And then he is the seed that sprouts up in the resurrection and bears much fruit. The church grows from his work. The church grows from his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And you and I grow from that as well. This is what happens truly and certainly, you might say even automatically, where Jesus is preached, where his sacraments are administered, and it happens everywhere that Jesus is preached, and everywhere where his sacraments are present. Our anxiety, our worry, our busyness, that adds nothing to the things that Jesus does. The kingdom of God is given in Jesus Christ and in his seed. And I know even when we look at our church life, it maybe doesn't seem to be quite as automatic as that, because there are things that need to happen. There's an altar that needs to be set with the gifts. There are bulletins to be handed out. There are assignments and duties that we have in the church. And yet we need to remember that the growth comes from Jesus being here and from the gifts that he gives and from the life and salvation that he has. Even now, everything depends on Jesus Christ. And because he is present here just as he promises, because he is right here now with us, we know that the church is here too. And we know that the church is growing. We know that his kingdom is expanding. We know that he is ruling and reigning. Through the preaching of his word, through that holy absolution and the baptism and the holy communion, the seed sprouts and grows in you and in me and in others as well. And you tell me exactly how that happens. I don't know. But I do know that it does happen. And it happens seemingly automatically, as Jesus teaches in this parable. The word works. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be eloquent. It doesn't need to be complicated. It simply needs to be the word. The Christian church will survive, and it does survive because Jesus gives his word and his promise. Sow anything else, and there will be no harvest. Listen to any other word, and there will be no growth. But let this alone rule in the church and in our lives, that Jesus Christ is crucified and risen from the dead for sinners such as you and me. One of the things I'd like to encourage as we think about the growth that God gives is to encourage you in your own lives as you have opportunity, whatever places God has put you in, to sow this seed by the handfuls and to not be stingy. Don't be shy. And know that whatever fruit this seed bears, it's not your work, but it's his. So leave the rest to Jesus. Confess his name. Do it boldly. Do it winsomely and kindly and with love for others. But spread his name and confess who he is. Because he works as the word is proclaimed. He works as his name is made known. He works as you speak about forgiveness and life and salvation to others. By his word, he forgives your sins and the sins of others as well. By his word, he raises the dead and he gives you and all believers a life that will never perish. This is the confidence that we have as we gather here, and it is the confidence that we have as we go out into the world with his name and with his word. We can speak boldly to others of our Lord Jesus Christ because he backs up our speaking with his own promise, because what we speak is his word. The kingdom of God doesn't look great and impressive as we might wish. And that's what Jesus mentions in the second parable. We're not going to spend much time on it, but it's worth noting. Jesus compares his kingdom to a mustard seed, a small, insignificant, easy to overlook seed. It seems almost like nothing, too small to notice or to care about. And yet Jesus says that from a little seed like that, from something that seems so insignificant and small, the kingdom of God grows. It grows like the mustard plant that becomes a great bush and overshadows the other garden plants and makes room for all sorts of birds to nest in its branches. God reveals himself in things that look as small and as weak as mustard seeds. He plants his kingdom through things that look so tiny and unassuming. He plants his kingdom through the means that appear worthless and powerless in the eyes of the world, and yet we believe that through these means, the kingdom is planted and grows, a kingdom that will be more magnificent than we can even imagine now. The kingdom comes through the weakness and the powerlessness of the death of Christ. Packed into that mustard seed of his death is the life of the whole world and the forgiveness of your sins and mine and the resurrection of the dead and the reconciliation of the world to God. The death of Christ on the cross looks like nothing, and yet in it lies shelter and comfort enough for all men. And from that seed, God is growing and will grow a kingdom that will last forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.